Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for starting it right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. You got your host, James J., here at 904. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We're wishing you a fantastic one, everybody. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to move out of the way right now because I do believe it is time for the kitchen to be open. Tell me something good. Whoa, that was loud.
You're awake here now.
And we're in the kitchen on Monday, February 6th, 2023. Today, we're going to talk about lentils. Why? Because I feel lentils are a much maligned legume that don't get a fair shake in many kitchens.
It is true.
I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist household, and while my mom didn't like lentils, I smelled them at a lot of church potlucks. I didn't really like to eat them, though. Many people in the SDA religion are vegetarians, and some of the dishes they came up with, while I'm sure they were nutritional, they didn't really suit my child-sized taste buds.
Mm.
Now, as an adult, I've grown to enjoy lentils, especially as I explore foods from other cultures. So let's take a look at the lowly lentil and see how they can enrich your diet and maybe in ways you didn't expect.
Yeah.
So lentils are ancient.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the oldest known cultivated crops and likely domesticated in the Near East. In an article I found on NPR, evidence of domesticated lentils dating to around 8,000 BC have been found on the banks of the Euphrates River in what is now northern Syria. Lentils reached Greece by 6,000 BC, but were regarded as poor man's food. Not so in Egypt, where lentil remains were found in royal tombs at Thebes, dating to 2400 BC.
Mm-hmm. And in India, cultivation dates back to 2500 BC, and roughly half of the world's lentils are consumed there. So it's a good part of the Indian cuisine. So lentils are also mentioned in the Bible four different times. You heard Euphrates earlier. That's the area that was traditionally considered where the Garden of Eden was. So it's not surprising that lentils would be something that would date back into the Bible. In fact, lentils are their most notable biblical text is that it was when Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob for a bowl of lentil stew. And that would have been in about 1800 BC era. So lentils were introduced to the Americas in the early 16th century by Spanish and Portuguese explorers, but they didn't become popular here until World War II, when we were looking for alternatives. They became a common alternative to meat, which is much more expensive, and it was much less available at that point.
Yeah, during that time. Lentils are a staple in Middle Eastern and India diets.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly every traditional Indian meal includes at least one lentil dish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but in Europe, lentils were viewed as a crop mainly for feeding animals. Though in France, pooey lentils, is how you say it, pooey, lentils are
although
popular.
Although some kids might say that they're poopy.
Probably. Are popular and have been cultivated there for over 2,000 years. The French variety have a unique peppery flavor, and they also have the ability to maintain their shape after cooking.
Hmm.
In America, they are called French green lentils.
Oh, there you go. And lentils are grown throughout Europe, Asia, and North Africa. They were first grown in Australia in the early 1990s and are often grown in rotation with pea crops. They aren't very common in the Western Hemisphere, though. The hardy plants grow 6 to 18 inches in height, with compound leaves that alternate. So they produce small pods that contain two seeds each. The lentil seeds can be white, yellow, orange, tan, green, gray, or dark brown in color, and some varieties are mottled or speckled.
They have a wide variety of them, and like the only ones that I could find in my grocery store were the brown variety.
Okay.
But they had orange peas. And I almost kind of wonder, because they look so much like lentils.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder. I mean, they're all in the same pea family,
right.
So.
And I've seen some green lentils around as well, so I think it depends on where you're going.
Yeah. Well, lentils are a superfood. They have the second highest protein content of all legumes after soybeans. Not surprisingly, this makes them a common meat substitute for vegetarians. Hence my childhood potluck nightmares. They are an excellent substitute for meat because while they are high in protein, they don't have the fat or cholesterol of meat of animal sources. Mm-hmm. So not only are you getting an excellent amount of protein, a half a cup of whole green lentils contains 9 grams of fiber and 0.5 grams of fat. A 3-ounce serving of lean ground beef contains 15 grams of fat and no fiber.
And that means they're great for your cholesterol as well. They help lower it rather than have the chance of increasing it. Mm-hmm. Lentils are also a rich source of potassium, magnesium, iron, and zinc. They have soluble fiber, which, like I said, can help lower your cholesterol and can be beneficial for people at risk of heart disease and diabetes. They also contain folate, which is a vitamin that helps your body build new cells. And folate is something, especially folic acid, is very beneficial when you are pregnant. It helps mm-hmm. with your gestation of the baby.
Yes. So now we get to the fun part. What can you make with lentils?
Yes.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is lentil soup. I think that's the only thing my mom made with lentils. And I didn't hate it, even as a kid, because she would make it with a lot of good veggies in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So lentil soup seems like an easy and filling dinner that goes great with crusty bread.
Okay.
An easy recipe contains olive oil, onion, garlic, carrot, celery, dried lentils, usually green or yellow, crushed tomatoes, if you like that, vegetable or chicken stock, and spices.
Mm.
The best spices to use are cumin, coriander, paprika, bay leaves, and salt and pepper. Now, an important step is adding lemon juice and zest just before you serve it, and that takes your soup to the next level. I made a creamy version of this last mm-hmm. week, and it only used onions, garlic, and ginger as the veggies
right.
with the spices. You cook all the ingredients until the lentils are done. Then you add a can of coconut milk and then that lemon juice right at the end. It was fantastic.
Ooh, it sounds yummy. I mean, all of this sounds
delicious.
Great, especially if you like all of the other vegetables that are in there. Adding just mm-hmm. a little bit of lentils each time might help increase your ability to handle the taste. If you've never had them before, just try mm-hmm. a little bit. So soup is probably the most common use of lentils in our neck of the woods, but there were many other delicious ways that you can use lentils. So what about fried lentils and bratwurst? We all like bratwurst, right?
It's perfect for this date.
For this recipe, you'll want to use French green lentils so that they retain their shape and don't get all mushy. So you simply cook the lentils until they are tender but still firm for about 20 to 25 minutes, drain them, and then set them aside. Then you cook the sausages for 7 to 9 minutes and set them aside, and now you'll put the lentils into the same pan and cook on high heat for about 5 minutes until they are crisp, and then they absorb all of the flavor from the sausage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Make a rosemary, garlic, and red pepper flake mojo by heating 1/3 cup of oil and pouring it over some spices. And then after 10 minutes, add some lemon zest, juice, and salt. Thinly slice cauliflower and toss with rosemary mojo and lentils. And then you serve them together with those wonderful brats that you just made.
I thought that recipe sounded so delicious.
Yeah.
And it's got the balance. You've got the added, you know, meat protein, which mm-hmm. in this area is very important on plates.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've also got cauliflower, which is an excellent vegetable if you're trying to cut down on your carbohydrates.
Right. It's a nice balance between the fat and the fiber.
Yep. And then the lentils are going to add more fiber and mm-hmm. more protein. It's a filling meal that's super easy to make.
Yeah.
One of the great things about lentils is that you can use them in just about every way you use ground beef. Think tacos, burgers, with rice and caramelized onions like a casserole, with pasta and mushrooms covered in a tomato sauce. They can even be used to make a meatloaf.
I've done that, and you don't even realize it's lentils. They taste wonderful.
But lentils absolutely shine in traditional Indian mm-hmm. dishes. Mesoor dal is a delicious and easy dish to make. Now, mesoor dal translates to red lentils in Hindi. It's a combination of sautéed onions and garlic, red lentils, turmeric, salt, and water. Once the lentils are tender, you'll temper the dal. You do this by heating dried red chilies, cumin seeds, garlic slivers, and curry leaves in oil for a few seconds, and then you just pour it over the dal and you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
It's often served with, you know, like garlic naan bread mm-hmm. or rice or whatever kind of side dish you want to have with it. It's absolutely delicious. There are just endless ways you can enjoy the delicious lowly lentil. Your pocketbook and your heart will thank you.
Absolutely. So don't be afraid to try something new.
Mm-hmm. There are a billion recipes out there to look at. And I'd say that the only ingredients that are hard to find here, at least that I haven't found yet, are curry leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the dried red chilies. Here I can get them because we have a large Mexican selection in our grocery store.
Yeah.
Of foods that they have a crazy amount of dried chilies there. I don't even know what they all are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little scared to buy them. But I haven't found the curry leaves yet, but you can get those online.
Yeah. And lentils are found in most grocery stores, at least some kind of a lentil. Usually, mm-hmm. I think, aren't they usually in like the baking aisle?
No, they're usually with the beans.
Okay.
I found them or by the beans or the rice or peas,
mm-hmm.
kind of in that area, your canned goods.
Right.
I think that's where they typically are.
Going to look like the seeds in like a green bean. So they're smaller, mm-hmm. but they taste wonderful when they're made with these kind of recipes.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Great episode, you two. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate that one. Did you guys know that Canada is the world's leading producer and exporter of lentils?
Did not.
Mm-hmm. They have farmers in Saskatchewan that have six different types that grow of lentils over there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Did that make me sound smart?
It did.
Did.
Well done, James.
Does that mean maybe next week or, you know, I could be maybe one of the episodes?
As a trainee.
You don't have to answer right now. You know, go ahead and think about it. Go ahead and think about it. You notice how whenever you think somebody's going to say no, you right away say, no, go ahead and think about it. Think about it. You don't have to answer right now. It was a great episode, you two. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody be on the lookout. Listen next Monday for another episode of The Kitchen's Open. We're looking forward to it. For now, we'll take a break, come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. I'm going to continue just a little more talk about the Grammys from last night, getting into just a couple of other, kind of wrapping up the subject, really. There was a very, very long In Memoriam tribute, and it was pretty well done. It featured several mini performances, including Quavo and Migos doing Without You to pay tribute to Takeoff, one of the members that they lost in the band. Also, Cheryl Crow teamed up with Mick Fleetwood and Bonnie Raitt to honor the late Christy McVie of Fleetwood Mac, who also passed away in November. Fans were a little upset that there was an omission of Aaron Carter, although you could argue he wasn't really in a Grammy ecosystem. I guess you could also say that he was a musician.
Right.
And still, People Magazine claims Aaron was listed in the physical copy of the Grammys program. And there was a ton of people getting bent out of shape that Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters was not in the memoriam.
Mm.
That's because he was in last year's. Like, for the love of all, what do we do? Like, do people think even just for a half a second before they get bent out of shape about things or go diving to social media to complain about this uproar of how dare they and all this? Like, he was in last year's. What are you doing? As promised, the Grammys paid tribute to the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, and it was actually really well done. I have some notes about it, but I'm just, you know, not going to waste everybody's time. I imagine most people care about my opinions about the Grammys already. This. I will say they did a pretty nice job multi-generationally of doing it, and I did like to see that they didn't just go for headline acts. Like an artist like Rakim up there, anybody who knows hip-hop, you know Eric B. and Rakim, but most people don't know that band.
Mm-hmm.
But Rakim is one of the greatest lyricists and for my money, the best voice, hip-hop voice I've ever heard. And so he belongs in there. Now, I understand why most people wouldn't know that name. I get it. But if you're going to talk about hip-hop and do the 50th anniversary of it,
mm-hmm.
then you darn sure should get it right.
Right.
They got a couple of those things right. And if I'm going to pick on them for other stuff, got to give them due where it's, where it's fair. Some viewers were blown away by Bonnie Raitt winning, as we talked about mm-hmm. before. I didn't even see who the other people were nominated for Song of the Year. I want to take a look at that real quick. Song of the Year for 2023. The nominees. Where were the nominees for that one?
Because I had it up on my phone. I know Harry Styles was one of the people that was. So the track was nominated alongside Adele's Easy On Me, Beyonce's Break My Soul, Harry Styles As It Was, Kendrick Lamar's The Heart Part 5, Lizzo's About Damn Time, Steve Lacy's Bad Habit, Taylor Swift's All Too Well, and DJ Khaled's God Did. So some huge names in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And that Bonnie Raitt won it. Is surprising, and a congratulations to her and her career. I would not be surprised if this was a little bit of a when Samuel L. Jackson was nominated for Pulp Fiction for Best Supporting Actor. There's not a person in the world that didn't think he deserved the award. But they, Martin Landau, I want to say they gave it to for a performance that he was barely, you know, it wasn't the greatest performance of his or anything like that. But Martin Landau had never won an Oscar. So it's like, well, he's near the end here. This may be the last movie Mr. Landau's in. We better give him an award.
Right.
And everybody was okay with this. And I like Martin Landau. Big, big fan of Mr. Landau's. Learned a lot from him. He didn't earn that.
Right.
And if I'm Martin Landau, the last thing I want is a sympathy, Oscar or something like that. Like, get out of here with that. Give it to the guy who deserves it. If I deserved one, I would have won one. Oh, but he was nominated against this person, or the Susan Lucci thing. You know what Susan Lucci would always say about those things? Well, if I deserved the win, I would have won.
Right.
Way to go, Susan Lucci.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? This, instead of just whining and complaining or whatever, like, if you're good enough, maybe you get it. We all understand. Look, we all understand the politics of awards.
Right.
How many times has somebody won an award and they actually deserved it? Like, think about what we're talking about here. Okay, the best song of the year. I gave you Adele. I gave you Beyonce. I gave you Kendrick Lamar, Taylor Swift. All incredibly different artists doing different styles of music.
Right.
Comparing them is like comparing what I do for, you know, what Martin Landau did for that role in Rounders that he won an Oscar for, where he's playing a gambler and all this stuff, comparing it to Samuel Jackson's performance, where he's playing a completely different character and had to do completely different things to become that character. It's not just apples and oranges. It's apples and football. Like, it's two completely different things. It makes no sense. So that's where politics get involved, and how many elbows do you rub? How many, you know, people are you good with and all that? Sometimes it's more of a political statement or something like that. I mean,
big popularity contest.
Yes. These things rarely come down to any of this. So to me, if I'm one of these artists that was nominated, that's where I firmly believe that a nomination means something.
Right.
You know, I'm happy about that. The idea of winning, how do we know that they didn't give it to Bonnie Raitt? Because dang it, Bonnie Raitt deserves a Grammy.
Right.
She's been in this industry a long time. I don't know that that's what happened or anything, but it seems to be where the controversy is this category and with this result. And it, first off, good song from Bonnie Raitt. And nobody's talking about that. Like, it's a really good song. that seems to be noteworthy. All these other artists are going to have many, many other times that they're going to be nominated for these awards.
Right.
More than likely. So I don't know. I will say I'm a little blown away that the Academy took on that the anger of the Swift audience or the Beyonce audience or like some of that's a little bit of a bold choice to me to push back against that. But I don't know. I don't see where the bent out of shape part needs to be on some of these things. When you take into consideration that it's not actually about the best song,
right?
Like, how do you determine what the best song is? I mean, what they use the more notes than any other song? Like, they created the new note? Like, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, how do you figure out what the best of anything is? Best movie, you know, they got the Oscars coming up a little while here. I said the same thing about the Oscars. It doesn't make any sense. We all understand why we do award shows. If you understand that going into it, how can you get bent out of shape? I don't get it.
A friend of mine has a saying, opinions are like belly buttons. Everyone has one. And that's what this is. These are all matters of opinions and whose opinions agree.
Yeah. There were a lot of interesting speeches, a lot of good ones as well. And a lot of people flipping out over Madonna, which I didn't understand because not because I'm not used to people flipping out over Madonna. I'm a child of the 80s.
Right.
That's like pretty much what I grew up on and everything. But I couldn't figure out why. It was because they couldn't recognize her There was people saying that she didn't look like Madonna and didn't know if that was actually Madonna. I pulled up a picture of her at the Grammys last night. I'm showing it to Beth. She looks like she's had some work done, and she looks like she's hanging on to, you know, trying her best to hang on to her youth.
Lots of filler.
I can't take any shots at that. She definitely looks like Madonna, though. Like, I don't know.
I can see it. I mean, I would have confused her for her daughter,
maybe. Yeah, I can see that.
Because of the work that she's had done.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Well, artists get older.
Everybody gets older.
Yeah, it's kind of how this whole thing works.
There's a lot of pressure on them to continue to look how they looked 10, 20 years ago.
It's true. Very true. So I wanted to get into like the 30 artists that have never won a Grammy.
Okay.
I want to touch on that. We'll do that when we come back. So we'll do that when we come back. One of the other things that I noted, I had a listener ask me if I was going to watch the Grammys. I said, no, I haven't really been watching. I pretty much stopped watching when they got rid of the polka. And like, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, yeah. Didn't you know that they got rid of the best polka category? Like, they haven't had a best polka album since 2009. The Academy got rid of it, and I said this as a little bit in jest,
right.
But I also have a little bit of a feeling behind it. The relevancy that these award shows give, that part can't be taken lightly.
Right.
Like, I'm an artist. I've been struggling my whole life to get this break. And not only do I have the break, but I have the legitimacy of being nominated for a Grammy Award or being, you know, something like that. That does mean something in the industry.
Right.
That can get you a second record deal. Like, there's a lot to be said for that. And then when you're talking about a genre of music, I remember when they finally had a hip-hop category in the Grammys, and that meant legitimacy. That meant my music was legitimate all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
I've read many, many articles of polka artists, of the, you know, Great Yankovic and Jimmy Sturr and these guys. And I'm not a polka guy. I'm not a guy who knows. I don't want to pretend to be like Tim and know polka inside and out.
Right.
That's the polka guy right there.
There you go, yep.
And you catch Tim's show Saturdays at 7. Best show you'll ever hear. But he could talk to this better. But to me, that was a real smack in the face to people. Like, if you're not going to have a great best polka album, like, then you all right, get rid of this one, this category, you know, all these other ones, too.
Well, especially considering they have a category, New Age, Ambient, or Chant.
Mm.
That is an actual category for the Grammys.
I have to say, I found a new polka song this weekend, and I sent it to my brothers. It's called She Likes Kielbasa Better Than Fish.
I love it.
That's great. To me, it's not so much about just polka music as it is about, you know, the idea of taking some of these styles of music and just kicking them out the door just because you want to, just because you think that maybe they're not popular where you are, but they're popular over here, or they're popular over there, or whatever. It's the same argument I have about hip-hop when I'm trying to get people to legitimize hip-hop. Well, we don't listen to it here, but we do over here, you know, to America's people. I mean, it's not just your America.
Exactly.
It's everybody's America.
Yep.
And we may be listening to hip-hop over here, but over there, they're listening to the polka.
Yeah.
Both are legitimate. Both
Absolutely.
Deserve respect.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here on WFHR. I just wanted to remind you what the station's name was. Just to remind you all, just in case. Thank you, Seth. Thank you so much for putting this song back in my brain, and now it won't leave. Thanks a lot for that. I can hear like four notes of that song, and it gets stuck in your head. It's one of those ones.
I love the chimes in the background.
You don't hear a lot of pop music with chimes in it.
You don't.
I hadn't thought of that. That's a good note, Beth. That's a good note. I hadn't thought of that. We're talking music a little bit here. We're going to just one last thing I wanted to mention about the Grammys, because I do actually think that these two next things are kind of interesting. 30 artists that have never won a Grammy. And maybe the most obscure Grammy category ever. And I don't believe it still exists. I'm pretty sure it's gone. They got rid of it. But I don't know if a lot of people knew it was a category or if it is still even celebrated. You know, so we'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's get to artists that have never won a Grammy. I've never won one.
Me neither.
No. Okay. Melissa, have you won a Grammy?
Actually, I did at a local a local thing.
Oh, I love this.
Yes.
Oh, I just right away assumed that you hadn't won anything. You know, obviously, you hadn't won one. I feel like we had heard that. I'd have read it on your resume or something. But, oh, that's awesome, Mel. That's very cool. Very, very cool. Nicely done. Awesome. Well, so let's go ahead and take a look at this, because I think that this is a list I'd be pretty proud to be on, mm-hmm. actually. Once you hear this list, I think you might even agree with me. So Miley Cyrus is on here with two nominations.
Okay.
Nickelback has 5 nominations. There's actually quite a few people that would believe that this is proof that the Grammys are real. The Grammys do a good job that Nickelback hasn't won. Teasing, teasing, teasing. I don't know if there's a band that gets picked on more than Nickelback.
Probably not. But there's also not a band that more people sing along with when the songs come on.
There you go.
That's a good point. The Beach Boys, 4 nominations, and the Beach Boys never won a Grammy. Only 4 nominations is more surprising.
That's shocking.
It's just as surprising to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses, 3 nominations. Yeah. The Monkees never won. They won.
Aww.
The Monkees and the Beach Boys have the same amount of nominations.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Monkees have more nominations than the Supremes, who have 2 nominations to the Monkees' 4. And this is not me trying to insult the Monkees. You know, all respect in the world, the Monkees,
right.
and all that and everything. But, wow. yeah. Def Leppard's got 0 nominations. Journey has 1.
Hmm.
Rascal Flatts has 4 nominations.
And they still haven't won?
Yep.
Come on.
Foreigner with 3 nominations. Kenny Chesney has 6.
And he has, that surprises me.
Yeah. Kid Rock with 5. Andy Williams with 6 nominations and never winning one. That's very surprising to me.
That ain't right story.
Yeah, that's pretty, I got to lean with you on that. Backstreet Boys with 8 nominations, never winning. Cat Stevens has 1 nomination. That's a little surprising, just 1 nomination.
Yeah.
Toby Keith with 7 nominations and never winning. That's also pretty that ain't right story.
Goodness.
The Who have 2 nominations. The Moody Blues have 0, along with Creedence Clearwater Revival, 0 nominations. Again, I speak to the legitimacy of your award shows.
Right.
If I'm speaking to it, I'm not being one of these whiny guys like Chris Brown or something like that. I'm pointing to this list.
Right.
Like, if I don't win or I'm not nominated, that's all I'm doing is reposting this list. I'm not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reposting this list. let it talk for you, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to be do it. The Moody Blues and CCR have 0 nominations. That just shocks me. I'm sorry. That really blows me away. The CCR won more than anything. I guess you could be a little eclectic with the Moody Blues, but still one of the most popular bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And CCR is one of the most popular bands of all time. Like,
right.
There's no denying that. I know you can scream at me, well, this person and this person doesn't know who they are. I'm not talking about every single person in the world knows who this band is. I'm talking about how many of their songs do you hear in movies and commercials,
yep.
how popular they, how long they've been around.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and they're played on the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Josh Groban's got 4 nominations, not a darn win.
Wow.
I'm not the biggest Josh Groban fan or anything, but I do know talent.
Oh yeah,
I do know
a beautiful
like
voice.
Greatness is one of the greatest voices of any generation he'd ever been born in. Like, yeah,
it's not fair that he doesn't, and Michael Bublé does.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting thing that we can get into, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Hart with 4 nominations, not a win.
Wow.
And then we're going to get into some people who actually might have a little bit more of a gripe. Like Katy Perry's got 13 nominations, never win.
Oof. That's crazy.
13-0, that's rough. Tupac had 6 nominations, never won. Run DMC had 1 nomination, never won. Queen had 4, never won. I ask you guys, who, not even just the greatest guitarist of all time, who the most popular guitar player of all time is? I feel like Jimi Hendrix is going to be, if not
right.
the first name, the second, third name, going to be in the top 3.
Yeah.
I feel pretty safe about that. Jimi Hendrix, 1 nomination. 1 nomination.
Was that for his version of the Star Spangled Banner?
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know he was nominated 1 time. Joe Satriani, another amazing top 20 guitar player of all time, maybe top 30 guitar player of all time, but up there. 15 nominations, never won. Dierks Bentley has 14 nominations, never won. Snoop Dogg, 16 nominations, never won. Jeez. And there's a lot more like country artists too.
Yeah.
Some of these artists do have Grammy Lifetime Achievement Awards. Run DMC, The Who, The Supremes, Jimi Hendrix. Bless you, Mel.
Thank you.
But yeah, I don't see any of these. Like, I could see all of these being legitimate. Like, as far as like having some gripe or what have you or anything like that. But I don't know. I also think it's really noteworthy. I can't think of hearing from any of these artists complaining.
No.
That they didn't win.
Well, I see that Snoop Dogg is the Susan Lucci of the Grammys.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's hilarious. Oh, I love that rep. I love that. That's the rest of my life, that's the way I will think of this. Yes.
That's I mean, good. Look, you had what, 16, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most I've heard of this list and not won any of them?
I do look forward to Snoop Dogg getting the Lifetime Achievement Award, though. I got to hear that speech.
Yes.
I got to hear what he says in that speech. That's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I love the idea of any rap artist getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, like Run DMC getting one or something like that. Like, there's, again, legitimacy to a music and to a genre. That's pretty interesting. But it means nothing if you're not including everybody.
Right.
I'm not the guy that believes, well, just because they took care of my stuff, well, then I'm good. Like, no, polka's not in here. We're not taking care of tons of country artists. Mm-hmm. This leans, when they talk about pop music, they lean way into pop, like pop rock, pop punk, pop a lot of that. They don't look at pop country very often unless it's Taylor Swift.
Right.
Like, outside of that, I should say, actually, back in the day, Shania Twain or something like that a little bit, too. But it always has to be that certain artist. You know, with that quote-unquote crossover appeal.
Yep.
What is crossover appeal? What is that? You know, that's a personal choice, it sounds like to me. It doesn't sound like something that there's any way of literally categorizing. I mentioned my frustration with them getting rid of the polka category and some of these things, in part because I do think that it is a bit of a smack in the face to the fans of that music genre and to music in general, really. And it may be even more of an insult that they don't have a best polka category, but the Academy, I had to look this up to see. I was looking at random weird Grammy categories. Mm-hmm. Carl and I had done that segment. You know, we did that segment years past and everything. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd look it up. And I don't remember seeing this before. Best album notes.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of like that. I think that's kind of a cool idea and everything. But how do you have best album notes, but you're not going to have a whole, like, you're not going to take care of a whole genre of music?
Right.
And to the idea, I thought about this when we were in break and everything. Well, they're not making as much polka. They've never made that much polka.
No.
Like, it's not like polka, there's always been a billion artists out there making polka. There's almost just as many now as there was then. Mm-hmm. I looked this up just to make sure. And there's still plenty of people kicking out polka albums. And just looking it up, the Grammys do still award the best liner notes or what have you, the best album notes.
Yep.
I did not see who won. They don't have it on here. But back in 2022, Ricky Riccardi won for the complete Louis Armstrong Columbia and RCA Victor studio sessions.
The best album notes for this year was for Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, Bob Marr.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I don't know. We got some interesting That Ain't Right stories coming up. One of them involving a pretty big figure. Some would argue one of the biggest in the world. That coming up for you, along with plenty more fun. It's the morning show here at WFHR, Monday edition of the show.
All right.
WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Going to take you right to the top of the hour with a bunch of fun stuff. But before we get to the fun, we got to get to the That Ain't Right. taking a look here. This is interesting, and I feel a little uneasy about some of this, but we're going to push forward. Especially because just hearing from this gentleman, we know how part in comedy he believes, how important laughter and comedy is in our day to day lives. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this man talk about this. And when I had this conversation with Pam and some other people before, like a list of people that you could interview that you haven't already, I would put him in my top five easily.
Okay.
And we're talking about the Pope.
Oh, yeah.
The Pope. And giving someone the finger. This is two categories, two things that you would not think would be in the same ballpark or the same universe. So here's something to keep in mind for everybody that doesn't know this. Giving someone the finger is more offensive here than it is in Italy. Mm-hmm. Much more. Much different thing. A lot of stuff like this. A lot of little things. You know, you see many Italians putting the fingers together and shaking them. Mm-hmm. That right there has like 19 different meanings in Italy, and about 15 in my parents' house. We do this. There's a lot of things. Italians talk with their hands. Mm-hmm. You want to shut an Italian up? Lock their hands. That's the way to do it. Like, and I can say that. So late last week, the Pope's official Twitter account posted and deleted a tweet praising the middle finger. It was all it was all very innocent, of course. He wasn't really telling anybody to, like, you use the middle finger or anything like that. It started with a speech he gave in the Congo last Thursday, where he talked about how the five digits on your hand represent five essential things in life. For example, your thumb represents prayer, and your pinky means service. Whoever runs his Twitter account summarized each one online, but eventually yanked the posts down after people had fun with the one with the middle finger. Okay. The Pope said it represents honesty because it's higher than any of your other digits. So in the comments, people were promising to flip people off more.
Just being honest.
Yep.
The best response came from someone in New York who said, quote, "I am doing the Lord's work driving on the Belt Parkway this morning." I will say I really have appreciated this Pope's efforts and work to, like, I don't want to work more, so much more with some groups and different types of people that others have not in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And inclusiveness.
Yes. Yep. Gone out of his way more than in my lifetime any Pope ever has. Mm-hmm. And I find him very interesting. I think that just for me, I can put away every little religious aspect of that man and still find him incredibly interesting, and I want to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
Like, all the other stuff is very noteworthy, and I have all the respect in the world for. But I just in general, find him very interesting, let alone you add all this, his job, on top of things.
You mean religious leaders can be interesting?
Yes, yeah. Which... I'm a little late to this one. I've gone out of my way with Morning Magazine and other shows to have our representatives, to have our law officials be looked at as human beings and not just a badge or a representation. I think we need more of this in society. We have way too many keyboard cowards out there who do these things and make, you know, treat people like they're not human beings.
Right.
One of the things I love about this Pope is that he is so human, that he has come across that way and everything.
He's down to earth, yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of that or it's just because of my the way that I was, who I am as a man, that I don't, you know, I'm not a religious person and I don't, you know, practice a faith, that I haven't thought of this before. But I think that's a strong point, Beth. The sarcastic response you had to that was noteworthy, I think, was very because I didn't even, I actually think you needed to do that because just speaking for myself here, I didn't think about that part of it, and that is something we need to do more. It's something that I've enjoyed about you being on the air with us, and I've talked with you about privately plenty of times. I don't think I've addressed it very much on the air, how for the most part, anytime I've been around, and this isn't just preachers or reverends, rabbis as well. If I'm around somebody of that ilk, I immediately feel guilty. I immediately feel like not that I did something wrong, but that I am wrong. Period.
Oh.
End of sentence. That I existing am wrong. Because that's what I was told growing up.
No.
Hey, you're mixed. Hey, you're not baptized. Hey, you're wrong. Like, so that's what I'm used to. So that's what I have a preconceived kind of like hesitancy.
Response, yeah.
I have a PTSD with this, if you will. I don't like overusing that acronym, but for lack of a better use of it. But I do think that's important. I do think that's something that we should do more. And we need to know where these are human beings. These are, you know, people.
Some of it was cultural, too, because in years past, back, you know, my dad's generation, the religious leaders were considered above everybody and so set on pedestals. And in the Catholic Church, the Pope is the direct line to God.
Right.
So there is that awe and respect for that position as well, but we forget that's a position and not a person. And so, and even in my line of work in Christianity, Jesus was human.
Yeah.
100% human, 100% God. So there is that aspect that, yeah, we are just as human as anybody. We make just as many mistakes as anybody. So, yeah.
Sometimes we even use the wrong tweet. Sometimes we even tweet the wrong thing.
And if you want to hear some of the dirtiest jokes, talk to a pastor.
Believe it or not. And speaking of dirty, go to our next. That was a perfect segue. I had to take it. It goes right into our next That Ain't Right story. Seniors at the Villages retirement community in Florida are supposedly tying loofahs to the tops of their cars to let people know they're swingers.
What?
Different colors are supposed to mean different things. I'm not going to get into all the details of this. Not everyone's convinced it's really a thing, though. Seniors are trying loofahs to their cars, no question, but there's another explanation that's innocent. The same rumor about swinging made rounds on Reddit, but that was disproved. They said it doesn't mean that they're swingers. It just to help them find their cars in the parking lot.
Because they're all white.
Yes. Having a loofah on top makes it easier. If you got like a sea of white cars, it does. I don't know how much it helps if everybody's using a loofah. If everybody does this, I don't know. Yeah, but
and the same color.
Well, it's like tying a ribbon on the handle of your suitcase when you're at the airport.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I just love the idea of whoever thought of this. Like, I'm not going to be able to find my car in the parking lot. I should tie something to my, what do I got? I don't know, loofah's right here. I'll just use the loofah. Right? Yeah.
And then everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Yes.
He's got what I want. That looks cool. Yeah. Wait, I need a loofah on my car.
Hey, did you see what Fred did with his antenna? Yeah, that's a really good idea. We should do that.
I wonder if that's a signal for something.
And then that's where the rumor started.
He's looking for something. Huh.
Yeah,
he's looking for his car.
He's looking for, Oh, I love it. That's hilarious. That is just hilarious to me. I don't know. We can't top that one. I mean, I can't do any more That Ain't Right stories after that. I'm not going to be able to top that. So let's go ahead and do some good stories.
Okay.
Let's dive right into those. A grocery store worker in Michigan named Diane Gordon has been walking almost 3 miles to work each day ever since her car died a year ago. But last month, she found a bag on the ground with $15,000 in it, and she still turned it in.
Good for her.
Police figured out the money belonged to two newlyweds who had just gotten married that day. One cop's wife was so impressed with Diane's honesty that she started a GoFundMe for her that's now raised over $60,000.
Oh, wow. She can get a nice car with that.
I mean, how often we have these stories where somebody finds a big chunk of money and then the next day or whatever, there's a GoFundMe for them and they actually end up getting more money than if they had kept that money.
Right.
Keep telling me karma doesn't exist. Go ahead and try to convince me of that, because I just refuse to believe it. A plane made an emergency landing on a golf course near Fort Myer, Florida on Thursday, and no one was hurt.
Yay.
Golfers eventually pushed it off the ninth green so that they'd keep playing.
Otherwise, that would have been one heck of an obstacle.
Yeah. It turns into a mini golf course all of a sudden. I think that this is something that I've been getting, I've had a lot of people get, almost borderline mad at me for. But I think that if you really want to make mini golf, more fun, have a regular golf course. But mini, at the hole is something.
There you go.
So it's like a regular golf course. You're traveling, but you still have the obstacles there and everything. Like that seems like it'd make interesting.
Two games in one.
I like it. Did you hear about the cat in New Jersey that got returned to a shelter for being too affectionate?
No.
The people were first-time cat owners and couldn't deal with it jumping up on their laps all the time. So here are some good news. The shelter shared the story online and immediately got 50 applications to adopt him.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
So he's got a new home now, and the extra attention also helped them adopt out almost all the other cats that they had.
Good.
Pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
We, of course, have been spoiled around here for the last, we're already at a month, I think, of doing this. Every Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, we are joined by Madison and our friends from the Southfield County Humane Society doing our Pet of the Week. And just talking to Madison on air, off air, a little bit about the subject, I know that they have seen more people showing up. And that's a good story of the day right there.
I keep wanting to just kind of pop in while you're doing that, just so I can see the animal.
I don't blame you. It is a minor miracle every time one of those animals leaves this building without me trying to adopt it. I wish I was joking. I wish I was kidding. There's like just a tiny bit of truth in there. I mean, a tiny bit of joke inside the truth on that one. And we go to Wisconsin for one of our final good stories of the day. A 76-year-old woman in Wisconsin lost her balance while taking out her trash last month and fell in a freezing cold creek. But thankfully, her UPS driver found her, carried her inside, called 911, and saved her life.
Yay.
Oh, wow.
We've had many stories like this over the years of postal workers doing similar things like that. Mm-hmm. I would like to see those stories brought up whenever somebody's complaining about their mail being, 2 hours late or something like that. Like, we don't seem to focus on that part of things very often. And, of course, the other good story of the day, our winter's farmer's market at the Wisconsin Rapids and Moravian Church. Mm-hmm. Want to remind people about this, Beth, if you wouldn't mind?
Yeah, it's every Saturday through April 29th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have a steady flow of people. We've got at least 15 vendors that are coming in and out. No 2 weeks are the same. So come check us out. If you're a vendor, check out our website, wrmoravian.org, and go to the More tab. Find the winter's farmer's market and drop down. There is a tab there to get more information about how you can get a booth.
Yeah, nice. I encourage you to do that. Again, wrmoravian.org. And stick around, everybody. We got Playmakers coming up. Randy Paul are going to be in studio with us. That's a good story of the day right there. Certainly looking forward to that. And plenty of great programming for you all week long. Tomorrow on Morning Magazine, we will kick it off with our Rams joining us, talking about Tobacco Prevention Group. And the Southwood County YMCA will be with us in part two.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. You guys have a great day. And we'll talk to you
James.
Sooner than later. See, I started the show calling all of us ladies. I'm wrapping up calling us all guys.
there we go.
Full circle.
Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.